I've heard numerous of his sermons where that's been the theme, longing for the gathering. Of course, we have a song that we love to sing that's called Longing for the Gathering, and I know Brother Randy does have that longing. I hope he would indulge me just for a minute that I might read a scripture from the book of Psalms, and just a few verses from verse 50, starting with the first verse. The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. We have made that covenant with the Lord by sacrifice. Are we consecrating our all? Are we making that consecration of our all to the Lord? We have another song that we sing that's called, Is Your All on the Altar? And that would be my message for us during this reunion, is that's what the Lord requires of us. That's what he commands of us, is that our all is on the altar. We are to consecrate our hearts, our broken hearts, our contrite spirits, and the Lord wants it all. He wants all of it. And so, brothers and sisters, let's recommit ourselves to putting our all on the altar of the Lord and getting ourselves away from this world and serving the Lord rather than man. And with that, it's my pleasure to introduce our brother, Elder Randy Sheldon.
Man, I didn't talk with you, but you just read there, our God is coming, and I'm going to be talking about that. Had several little bright spots in our little prayer service, and I thought they were bright. One was, my concern and my desire is for our young people. And I tell you what, behind me, the young people were tuned up, and they were singing. And they were singing out. Oh, I love that. I thought that was pretty good. Another little thought there, Brother Rollin, he said in his little testimony, and I never thought of this really with the same emotion as the way I heard it today, but he says, can you imagine that there are some people in this world that nobody's praying for them? I can't imagine how horrible that could be. With that thought, nobody cares. Nobody is praying for me. Well, that's what we got right here. These are what I'm going to talk about. But we have the believers, and we have that confidence that there's somebody praying for you. What a comfort that is. We are remembering one another. Love is cooking here in the little Church of Christ. And I love it. Well, I'm going to be talking about these guys right here, scoffers and believers in Christ. And probably that's just life right there altogether. You're going to find that from the beginning and even today, you're going to find that there is the Lord going to do something big. He's been doing something. He is making, bringing to pass his will and way. The believers are assisting him doing that. They're looking, they're calling their commander, and they're asking himself, what do you want me to do? And they're looking to do something for the king. The scoffers are the guys right here who are sitting there, and they're looking and they're laughing. And they're arrogant and they're disbelieving, and they don't want any part of it, and they're going to try to diminish you, the believer. They're going to try to stand in your way. They're going to put their foot out. They're going to try to trip you up. That is life. That's just the way it is. We have a resistance. We have an adversary. We have somebody who is always going to be standing in the way. We take that for granted. and we push on because we're believers. We believe the Lord. I was thinking this just the other day. We talk a lot about you know, you got to keep the commandments. Well, what that said to me is I calibrated this just a couple of days ago. Don't think I've ever had this thought before. That the work, the good work, the action, the obedience that you are doing right here is faith. You believe it. I believe it. When the Lord says it, I do it, and I believe it. I'm acting, that is an act of faith, that by my faith right here, I'm going to try to accomplish what he has asked me to do. He's told me to do that, and I believe he's real. I believe that he means what he has said right here, and I'm going to endeavor to try to accomplish what he wants me to do. And so we're going to talk about these people right here, All right, there it is, 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter and the 3rd verse. And we're going to stay in 2 Peter here for 3 or 4 verses. We're going to go on down. But here's what it says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. Now, you're going to have, and we're going to read it right here, the Lord is coming. The scoffers don't believe that. They don't like hearing about it. They don't want you to tell them that about it. They're scoffing, and it lumps it together. The Word of God lumps that together, scoffers and guys who are walking after their own lust. These men right here are not holy men. They're not good folks. Their intention is to try to trip up whatever God wants to accomplish in our life and in this world. And so they're walking, that it's saying right here that these guys shall come in the last days scoffers. Well, I see in your little Book of Mormon there, in the first couple of chapters there of the Book of Mormon, you see a picture of what the scoffers look like. And you see Nephi, Lehi, and they're going down that little narrow path. And as they're trying to do the work of God, here's the scoffers high up in the air. And they're looking down and they're pointing the finger. That little finger right here is devastating. I mean, that's what it is, but it shouldn't be. What I would say is, don't you be afraid of that little finger. Don't you be afraid of that world, that big bad wolf world right here that comes out and tries to wag his finger at you right here. And most people just fold and run away and crying and upset, and they can't take it. Well, that's what happened with Nephi and Lehi, is they were exposed to the scoffing finger of the world. And that's what they do. I've experienced that. Oh, you're that Pat Boone, goody-two-shoe Christian kind of guy, aren't you? That's what they say. It endeavors to fold you up. The endeavor is to close the door and run away, and I can't take it, and I'll join you right here because I'm fearful of your little pointing finger. We're not fearful. We're not afraid of that pointing finger. We're gonna deal with it, and we're gonna deal with it in the Lord. And so these guys right here, what I'm trying to say is that they are after their own lust. And there's a lesson, a message in here, and I'm going to get to it in just a second. Let me read the second verse, 2 Peter 3:4. And saying, and this is what the scoffers say, where is the promise of his coming? We have been here and listening to you guys talk that for 100 years. We have been here, if you're members of the Church of Christ, we have been here for 50 years, for 30 years, for 20 years, and that's what we hear. We hear you guys right here saying, where is the Lord is coming? And we say, the scoffers, we say, where is he? We're waiting for him. We ain't seen him yet. And we're not intimidated. And they're walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Matthew 24:48 says, the Lord delayeth his coming. Now, here's my point. That's out of hell. If that thought comes into your mind, I heard Brother Flint talking about this 50 years ago. I heard Arthur Smith talking about this 60 years ago. Far back as my history goes, I've heard that being said. And the point that I'm making is that is forbidden in the mind of the believer. That thought of he delayeth his coming. He probably won't come for, well, I'll be dead and gone. I've been under this sort of a false little hope right here for a whole long time, and it ain't happened, and it's not going to happen. And I'm saying it's deadly from the pen of hell to believe the Lord is delaying his coming. I'm going to talk about that just a little bit. We need to gird up our loins, as my wife told me just the other day. We need to be ready for the assault. When the assault by the enemy, by the distractor of all things, he's the scoffer number one. That's the thought that he wants us to think, the Lord delayeth his coming. He's not going to really come. He might come in some day, some future day, right, but he's not going to come. And I'm saying we cannot permit and tolerate and entertain that thought. I'm going to get into it just a little bit. Here's what I'm thinking. 2 Peter 3:8, we're going down just a little bit. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. We don't reckon time by that clock. We're reckoning in celestial clocks and times. We're reckoning our time according to the way and the day of the Lord. Now, the day of the Lord right here, if I'm not mistaken, if I don't get too crazy on this, is that this life that we're living in is we're on the tail end of the sixth day. Why? 6 days ago, Adam and Eve was walking around. Well, that was just 6 days ago. And we got another day coming, biblically, another day coming for which the day of rest is going to be that seventh day. We're looking forward to that day of coming. That day of the millennial period of rest is coming on his way. It's on time. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. He hadn't delayed a minute. He is moving forward minute by minute. Day by day, he's accomplishing his work, and he's not slack. He didn't get messed up on his time. He didn't false time it. This was given to Peter after Jesus was crucified. Looking forward to the day of the Lord coming up just in a few days. I was thinking about that. I used to raise bees until they all died out. But I had bees, and I've looked at bees, and I've studied bees, and I watched those bees. And what those bees are doing is, boy, they come popping out of that gel there that mama queen nested them in, and they come out of there, and they stretch their wings, and they dry their wings off, and then it ain't long right here, they know exactly what they're supposed to do, and they're off to the field. And they're off to the field. And they're working, and they're getting in the pollen, and getting in, coming back, and they're going to do their part in the hive. And then they go out and do it again. And there's no end of what they're doing. There's no end of their activities. They live for 30 days. Now, if I could talk to a bee, if I could get up personal to a bee right here and say, now, I'd like to talk to you. Say, well, I'm kind of old and enfeebled. I'm in my 30th day. Or I'm actually 90 years old. And I ain't got much flapping of these wings yet in me right here, but what is your question? Well, how can you live so long? Or how can you live so short? But that bee right here, if you put him on bee time right here, that 30 days, boy, man, that was long. I don't think I could make it to the 30th day. Well, I'm kind of likening that 30 days with our 90 years of life, or 100. Or 72, whatever we reckon right here. And what it is it depends on how you reckon it. To that bee right here, man, it's been a long life. To those of us right here getting over the edge fast right here, it's been a long life. But to the Lord right here, you're not even into February of your life, of the first year. You are just real young in the faith. But I'm getting old. No, he said, my work is not slack. My work is rolling on, and it's coming to pass. And by your efforts, Sister B, Mr. B, by your efforts right here, the hive is getting ready. The honey is getting made. The celebration is about to begin. I hope I'm not too weird in what I'm talking to you about right here. I'm trying to liken right here that these days that the Lord's been proclaimed a long time ago. He's been proclaiming it right here, here in Peter. These are inspired words. The day of the Lord is coming. Well, you know, we haven't seen it. I'm about to buzz out. I ain't much left of me right here. The Lord is coming. He's going to do just exactly what he said he's going to do. And he needs your be work. He needs you with the hive. He needs you be making honey. Needs you to be helping with the kingdom until he comes. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. That thief in the night is for the scoffers, for the people who he delays his coming. That has to happen. The thief in the night is coming to those who don't believe he's coming tomorrow. He ain't going to come in my lifetime. He may come in one of my kids' lifetime, right? But he's not going to come. And that's who the thief's coming to. He's going to come to those folks right there who have thought that thought. He can't come today or tomorrow. The scriptures don't, they're not, it's not time yet. I don't believe it. And the Lord right here, by inspired word right here, he says, the Lord's coming as a thief. I've always told that story. Slim Yates' daughter, Becky, wherever you're at, Becky. Elena. She had a girlfriend that called her up. And she says, Elena, she says, you haven't seen me for a long time right here, and I live in California right here, but I'm coming next month to visit you. Really? Good. Wonderful. And so they hung up the phone right here, and Elena says, she said, boy, oh boy, here she comes. We haven't seen each other for years right here, and she's going to be coming here in a month. In a month, I got time. Come on, kids, let's eat some breakfast right here. We got to kind of clean the house a little bit, but we don't have to get in a big deal right here because my girlfriend is not coming for a month. Well, guess what? My girlfriend's coming in 2 weeks. Oh, no. My girlfriend's coming in 2 weeks. Boy, I know how to put this house together fast. It's not that big. We still got time. She's going to be here in 3 days. No, no, no. Well, I can whip this house up in one day. One day. Hi, girlfriend. She wasn't ready. She told us that. She wasn't ready. Well, that's a picture of the scoffers. That's a picture of what people do. The devil sows very carefully, intertwines his teaching into our thoughts right here. It's just not reasonable that he could come at any moment, any time. I don't know. I'm kind of caught in the middle. Maybe he might be coming, maybe not right here. We have got to have in our mind he's coming, and we're getting ready for it. And we're not listening. We're not doing anything right here that puts us on the slow-mo right here. We are working towards getting ready when he comes. And when he comes right here, he's going to see that the house is in order. He's going to see it. Our house is in order because we've been working on it because of that anticipated day. I was looking forward to it. I was doing what is ready to be able to be there in his presence when he comes. Revelations 8 and 4. Pretty neat stuff right here. These scriptures I find great. And here it says, in the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Here come the incense. Now I believe this. I'm not going to say this is real, real hard and cold theology right here, but I believe this. When we say a prayer, and we said several of them, we're praying for Mama Irene. We're praying for Cindy Maitley, Dana Taylor. The many folks that we're praying for them. I believe those prayers come up. They come up and they go into the incense burner. We're going to read about it just a little bit, the censer. And they go into the censer. The prayers keep coming up and they're going into the censer. And oftentimes we're thinking right here, well, how come they didn't come back down? How come I didn't see it right? They're still going up. They're still going in the censer. And if I understand Jewish history a little bit, they had the temple. They had the temple right here. They had this censer hanging by a chain. And they had that censer right here, and that's in that censer is hot coals. And you want to fill that place up with incense right here. You take the incense, and you pour it on the coals, and it is liberated, and it fills the house. Well, in that second verse there, Revelations 8 and 5, the angel took the censer, filled it with fire in the altar. Now it's got the incense in it right here, and he cast it to the earth. Well, my little way of thinking things right here is that our prayers go up. Sometimes prayers go up and come back down. Sometimes we ask right here, Lord, in fact, as I suspect right here that our sister Irene, who had that little brain bleed that we just heard this morning, and Rhea, where are you? Did you say that she was all right?
Yes.
That's pretty mighty. And I'll bet you before, because we didn't know about it, but I'll bet you Leslie, I'll bet you Jim, I'll bet you every family and everybody close and tight, Lord, help my mama. And they go up and they come right back down. But sometimes those prayers don't go up. They go up, but they don't come back down so fast because they're still in the censer. They're in the censer. And there comes a time where the angel here in this fifth verse, right, he takes that and he pours out the censer on the earth. Now I can look at that a couple of ways right here. He pours out the censer right here and the censer lights us up. The censer blesses us with that fragrant aroma. We are increased. We are made fervent and blessed because of the censer, of the aroma coming down. But the aroma also can come down, and that separates the believers and the naysayers and the scoffers. 18 and 2 of Revelations. Somebody cried mightily with a strong voice, this angel. And he cried and he said, Babylon the great is fallen, is become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit. Mercy, mercy. I thought the scripture was behind us. Dan? What? Where have I gone wrong? I thought you guys was looking at the same scriptures I was looking at. Wait till my master tech comes up here. I did that one time at the East Local. I had points to make, and I had a big billboard, and I had a crayon or a marker right here. And in my mind, as I was talking, I'm writing. And so I turned around and said, there it is. Ain't a thing there.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what to do. Do we get anything?
No.
Okay.
I had that on dark, the screen on dark, and this was on right here. Maybe I should have turned that off first before I lit the screen up.
I don't think I can help you.
Okay. All right. Sorry. I am sorry about that. Well, who did I tell that to? I told him this morning, I said, there's never any time I've ever had this, it wasn't a glitch in it. All right, you're going to have to just depend on Revelations, the 18th chapter, second verse. Let me get this on where I can see it. Yeah. All right, Revelations 18 and 2, and here's what it says. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. There is coming a time for which Babylon, whoever you think that is, we can do it this way. Babylon of old in the days of Nebuchadnezzar was the greatest, seventh wonder of the world. Babylon of old. Babylon, I believe, changed addresses there. Are you going to help me out? Oh, I thought you was coming up here to give me a hand. Sit down.
I can certainly try, but...
Okay. And so then Babylon, I believe, changed addresses, and that address became Rome. All right? I believe it has changed again, and it may still reign in Rome just a little bit, but I believe that Babylon is a representation of the world and its system and its decay that's going down. Now we have and I don't know if I have it here. Yeah, I think I do. All right, in this right here, it become the hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And it says here, for all nations, Revelations 18:3, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. All nations are drinking from the wicked sludge of the devil. That's what that means. All nations, including whom? The United States. All nations have done that. When we go down to Honduras, I'm ashamed of this. When we go down to Honduras, we land in the airport, we get out of the airport, and first thing we head to is we're going to go to a store and buy some stuff right here. And we pass through a little place right here where America's music is on full blast in all of its decay and raunchiness. American, English speaking there, and all those poor Hispanic people don't know a word they're saying, but boy, they like it, whatever they're hearing. And we have exported that. I'm not going to try to beat this down too much right here, but the point that I'm making is that foul spirit is in the world. It's there. Let me give you another before I develop that just a little bit more right here. Here, 3 Nephi, the 9th chapter, verse 101. I'm going to drop on down to 106, I think, a little bit later. But 3 Nephi, page 663. Yea, woe unto the Gentiles, except they repent. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Father, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots, and I'll cut off thy cities of thy land. Verse 106, I will execute vengeance such as they have not heard. Coming. The scoffers say it ain't coming. The scoffers say I don't believe it. This is the Book of Mormon backing up that previous verse there about Babylon right here. And the Bible there in Revelation in that 18th chapter says it comes down in 1 hour. Now let me back here just a minute. And here it is, Revelation 18:4, and this man just quoted it. I've heard elements of what I'm talking about right here in your prayers today. Leads me to believe right here that the Lord is sending a message here somewhere. And here's what this Revelation 18:4 says. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Who is that talking to? Is that talking to the scoffers? That is talking to my people. He's talking to my people who may be where? In Babylon. That they may be, no, there's no maybe. My people, he's talking to me. He says, get out of there. I talked to Wednesday, had a guy 3 or 4 hours talking to me. He says he's homeless, but not really, whatever that means. He's got all of his stuff in a bag right here, and he's got a wad of money that big around right here, and he believes, but he doesn't believe. He obeys, but he doesn't obey. He loves the Lord, but he acts like an enemy. I'm talking about this is how he's talking. He says, I love meth, but I hate meth. What I told him, I said, where are you going? Where have you been in your walk? Well, you know, I'm downtown Kansas City right now. And yeah, you know, there's places that I go, and this is where I go. And in my normal walk, I go here, and then I go there, and there's something here and something there. I got friends here, and I got friends there. I got my wife in prison here, and I'm down here, and I just got out of prison. You know, I'm around. I said, don't go to those places. Don't hang out with the world. What are we telling our children up there at the camp right now? I hope they're hearing it loud and clear. You got no fellowship. You got no friendship. You got no future in this world. And here is the wisdom of God. Get out of it. Don't go there. Don't look at that. Don't watch that. Don't listen to that. Get away from it. What God is saying. Fifth verse. For her sins have reached unto heaven. How can it last? When the sins come up. When the filth and the wickedness come up. In pure technicolor. Why wouldn't the Lord come down? Why isn't he ready in heaven? Why didn't he do something before now? Well, he has got it just exactly by the second. This is sidelight, little sidelight about God's timing. We tell the story, and down there in the visitor center right here, a bunch of us have told us the same story probably. And part of that story is that Granville Henry had a visit by an angel. Boy, I tell you what, and we were reading Wednesday about the gifts of the Spirit, and part of those is the visitation of angels. Believe in that. And so in this visitation, the angel's right here. An angel come to visit him in 1864. He says, an angel came to visit me and told me, he says, I want you to go back and in 3 years in 1867, and I want you to go back to where you came from and buy some land and get this temple out back. I'm not making a big story about the temple, but I'm talking about men who had, people, our forebears, who had this message, go back, as the angel says, to independence. What does that mean? You're living on a farm in Illinois. What does that mean? An angel comes up and tells us, say we are all farmers. We're living in the middle of Illinois. We're right there, and we like it. We got our good farms. We're living well right here. What does that mean? That means you're going back to where they chop you up and throw you down in wells. That's what that means. What that means is come back to independence. You're coming back there where all those marauding gangsters and those outlaws right here that burned down Osceola and Lawrence right here, that's where those guys are. That's where you're going to go back to. And you know what? The Lord, we believe, the Lord knew what he was saying by asking that. He happened to ask that at the time when the Civil War was waning down. He asked that at the time for which things were changing pretty rapidly back here in Missouri. And they came back. They came up over here to the Missouri River, 6 miles to the north of us. And they came with a plan right here that we're going to come across the Missouri River in the dead of winter where the river's frozen up. And we know it's frozen right here, and we're going to choose that time for which it is frozen. And they came, believing God led them all the way. And they came. And when they came right here, what'd they find? Brother Ronald, what'd they find? Ice. They found ice, and the ice was, what was happening to the ice? It's thawing out. Now, is God in this? Well, we sold our farms. I guess that was pretty good. We had a pretty uneventful trip here to the banks of the Missouri River right here, and that was pretty good. But now, man, I don't know what we're going to do. I guess God didn't know what he was talking about. He told us to do this. We did it, and where are we? We can't cross the river. It's thawing out. An old brother Frisbee, and it was, somebody Wednesday was talking about, Sean Spray. And he was talking about, he says, my forebearer was Frisbee. And Frisbee says, he looks across that great expanse of the Missouri River there, he looks across there, and he says, I'm going. And he goes by faith. And he makes it. He survived. Why? Because God's in it. And then the rest of the 60 folks come across right here on the same thawing ice. And they came back here to the people that hate them. The people that hate them right here. The people that wanted to tar and feather them and run them out on a rail. That's what these people want. Well, something happened with the minds of the people. God only could know that. Change the folks' mind, and they're now pacified. We're tired of warfare. And they came here, and they did the impossible, and they bought this lot right here from eight different families. And all those families said, we would be delighted to sell to you. Why? Because God was in it. Well, this is what's happened right here, is God is saying, come out of her. I believe that he provides a way whereby we can come out of her. We can come out of this. We can live. We can survive. We can flourish. We don't have to be doing the things the world does and seeing the things that the world's going to show us and believing the lies that are broadcast every night out of your radio and out of your TV right here telling us of what we ought to believe. We're the believers. We're the ones who are going to be steadfast. And when the Lord comes back, he's going to see us standing there, maybe trembling, maybe dirty, maybe weakened. But we're standing there. Because we come out of the world, and the wrath of God is coming against the world, backed up by the Bible, backed up by the Book of Mormon, backed up by your news that you hear every day right here. The wrath is coming. And who comes with the wrath? And who's going to cause the wrath to relinquish its pain and its anguish? It's he that is scoffed at. That's the Lord Jesus. He's coming. And who is it? I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse. Revelation 19:11. A white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful, are we? He was called True, are we? And in righteousness does he judge and make war. Are we doing what we do because of righteousness' sake? And hear this in another scripture. I think it's in 1 Thessalonians, 4th chapter, I think it is. It talks about this event or maybe close to this event. Anyway, the Lord's coming back and he's bringing his saints. And you know what I thought? I thought my daddy is going to be on a horse, riding behind this white horse. And maybe your dad and your mom are coming back. And this world is going to be conquered by the Lord that has been scoffed at. And they didn't think he was going to do it. They didn't think he was going to come. Believers believe that he's coming. And they're getting ready for that. That parable there in the 25th chapter of Matthew, talking about the five wise and the five foolish virgins, they weren't ready for that. But the five wise virgins had oil in their lamp, and they're ready to trim, and they're ready to walk, and they're ready to see, and they've got an address they're going to, and they're going in there, and the doors are open. They're going through the doors, and when they get in through those doors are going to shut. And the scoffers are not going in. They're not going to be there, but the believers are going to be in. They believe it. We believe it. We believe in the Word of God. We're governed by that. He tells me not to do something, I don't do it. He tells me to do something, Lord, give me strength that I can do it. And that white horse is coming. And he who's on that white horse, in my opinion, Revelation 20:1, And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit. Bible tells me that the only one that got the key to heaven and hell is the Lord Jesus. And he got that, and he opens up that pit, key to the bottomless pit, and he's got a great chain in his hand. Who has got the power? All the world that we're living in right here would have us intimidated and quaking in our boots right here, because they may point the finger at you. They may say some scoffing word at you. They may even collect some people in a little tribe right here and to try to get you fearful and afraid. But he who's got this key right here, he says he's got a great chain. I believe that's a great chain. I've seen ship chains, and I've looked at those ship chains right here, gigantic links that are this long, the metal in it as big as a pie plate. I said, that's a chain. And this angel right here has got that great chain in his hand, and he's going to use that chain for what? 20th chapter in the second verse, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Wouldn't you like to have a life? Wouldn't you like to have a time in your life for which the devil was bound? Well, stand by. Hold on. Hold on. That time's coming. And the devil's going to be held captive for 1,000 years. Third Nephi, the fourth chapter and the 51st verse. Boy, I'm sorry I didn't. Page 628. I have come to the into the world to bring redemption unto the world. I have come to redeem you. I had an old 48 Ford pickup truck in my woods, moldering away. Just decayed, time was eating it alive. And I had a guy that worked with me, and he says, Randy, he said, I heard that you got a pickup truck that's out there in your woods. And I said, oh, yeah, I do. So I like to buy it. And what do you want to do? He wants to drive it again. He wants to show it off. He wants to make it look pretty. Well, I never did see his work on it right here. I wanted to, you know, but I didn't get around to seeing it. But that's what the redemption is. Paid for you a ransom. None of us deserve it. Shouldn't get it, but by that feeble prayer that Granville Hedrick had and those old saints before, our grandpas had, my dad had, your dad and your mom had, that little prayer right here says, Lord, save us, redeem us, deliver us out of who we are. And that's the Lord wants to do that. He wants to take us. The way I look at it right here, he says, it's not going to be real comfortable right here, but I'm going to run you up and down the scrub board of truth. I'm going to rub you up and down right here, and before long, you're going to squeak. You're so clean after I get done with you. And he's coming there to redeem the world, to save the world from sin. Whoso repenteth and cometh as how? As a little child. They know, I'm horrified. It actually kind of horrifies me. I think it's the seventh chapter of Moroni. It says that none is worthy, none is acceptable, none is going into heaven, none is going to be with Jesus. None of that, those little hopes and aspirations that we all have, nobody's going to be there except the humble and the contrite. Ain't nobody else going to be there. They're not, when we go to where the Lord is, when we get there with him, we're not going to see some proud and cocky guy just looking at his fingernails and his Rolex watch. We're not going to see that. He's not going to be there. We're not going to see some proud and cocky woman right here making a tinkling with her sound, as the Bible says. Not going to be there. But who's going to be there? I had a song right here, and we've sung it many times right here, loving each other. Well, that's who's going to be there. That's going to be the lovers. That's going to be the ones who love the Lord Jesus with everything they've got. They have humbled themselves, and they have done, and they have asked the Lord, whatever that is right here, whatever you got to do, make it happen in me. If I need to be more humble, Lord, humble me. Boy, that's a hard prayer. Buy, the Bible says, buy gold and silver and honey and milk or whatever it is, without purchase, without price. Buy it and come to it and come before the Lord right here that can redeem us and ransom us and claim us and take us where we're supposed to go. Whoso repenteth and cometh unto me as a little child, him will I receive. Okay. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That is pure and simple where it's at. Love not the world. Don't have that as your affection place. That's not something for which we're lingering. When Sodom and Gomorrah come down, who came out? Well, Lot and his family. They come out. And they come out there, and they're out just to escape the heat just a little bit. A man that places roasting, the brimstone came down, and it didn't take long and burned up the whole town. And it's burning it up, and that place is just, the fact is, I just read this not too long ago, they have found an ancient city, the relics of an ancient city, down at the bottom of the Red Sea, and they think that's Sodom and Gomorrah. And guess what? Elements of brimstone and fire are everywhere. Well, here it is, right here. Love not the world. And so here comes Lot and his two or three daughters. They come walking out of town by the skin of their teeth. And they come fleeing out of town right here. And here's Mama coming out of there. And what did Mama do? We all know. She loved the world. She loved the world. Oh, that's my beautiful Sodom over there. My good neighbors. Lie. And she was turned to a pillar of salt. All that is reveals the mind of God. The believers are the ones who are held and going to be put in a hiding place. It says, close the door until the indignation passes by. In a cleft in the rock, when the power and the force of destruction pass by, you're in the cleft of the rock. When you're under the shadow of the Almighty, you're under the shadow of the Almighty until wickedness and disaster is fulfilled. Come not, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. We are to come out of the world. Should not be reported. None of us should have anybody say right here, say, well, I saw you downtown honky-tonking. I saw you, buying those tapes. I saw you watching that TV show. I saw where, but what you ought to see is, where did I see you? Well, I saw you in church. Well, when did I see you last? Well, I saw you reading your Bible and your Book of Mormon. Well, what were you doing? Well, I was loving on, and I was helping some little person right here. I caught you in the act of doing what a believer does. And that encouraged me, and that blessed me. See if I got another one. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. The humble, the contrite, the believers, not the scoffers. Not the people that are saying right here, well, the Lord delayeth his coming right here. He ain't going to be coming here next week or next month or next year. No, I don't believe that. But having their heart right here, I'm ready if he comes now. I'm ready if he comes tomorrow. I believe that, and I'm hanging on to it, and ain't nothing in this world going to take it from me. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in Revelation 20 and verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That's the heritage. That's what we're talking about. That's the hope that I've got for those 60 kids or 80 kids up there at the youth camp when they come back. That's the hope that we ought to be praying for. We'll be praying for one another. Lord, when you come back, when you do come back, you find me with oil in my lamp. I didn't waste it on some foolish thing. And that you found me. One of my favorite images of all time is Manon's daddy. Manon's daddy right here, we had a prayer service. And in that prayer service, people were praying. And her daddy was praying. And her daddy was, the Lord chose to take him right there. And where do you think he could not, where is he right now? Saying his prayers in his humility, in his love, joined together with the brothers and sisters. Where do you think that he is? There is no doubt in my mind where he's at. Because he got caught. He got caught and convicted of being a Christian. Manifested, we know who you are. I know who you are. You are Christians. Yes, we are. God bless you.